In his patriotic culpers, Washington had informants far superior to those of his enemy, whose spies were mostly deserters and defectors, embittered by either loss or jealousy, bought and paid for with no concerns above self-preservation. The most notable example, of course, was Benedict Arnold. Once complete, the Culper Ring operated in this way. Townsend gathered intelligence in New York, primarily from Rivington, carefully recording it in easily concealable letters. Though risky, Washington shrewdly demanded written reports to verbal ones. He then passed his reports along to Austin Rowe, whom he met at a predetermined time and place. Rowe then carried the messages on horseback to Woodhull in Setauket. There, Rowe would either give the message to Woodhull personally, or for safety's sake, utilizing the dead drop method, leaving it in an inconspicuous container in one of his fields for Woodhull to retrieve later. Woodhull collected this intelligence along with whatever he managed to gather and record on his own, arranging for Brewster to land outside of town where he would intercept the message and row it across the Long Island Sound to Talmadge in southern Connecticut. Talmadge then processed the information, relaying it to Washington at his headquarters in New Jersey via one of his loyal dragoons. Because the intelligence traveled by a necessarily circuitous route, Talmadge introduced measures early on designed to protect his spies' identities in the event the messages were intercepted. He devised a code system entirely from scratch based on alternating alphabets that, when used in tandem with a truly revolutionary type of invisible ink, which he dubbed his sympathetic stain. This rendered messages quite impervious to the usual methods of detection. Sir James Jay, brother of the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, John Jay, and trained chemist, had developed this invisible spy ink especially for George Washington's use. It consisted primarily of gunpowder and gum arabic, two traditional ingredients found in most inks at the time, but contained a solvent that made it appear invisible to the eye. Only by immersing a document in a counteragent could a message be revealed. Most invisible inks of the day, which contained vegetable oil, only required that the receiver place the letter over a candle in order to reveal the message. The greatest coup for the Culper Ring came in the summer of 1780. In early July, Washington received word that the long-awaited French naval squadron of General Jean-Baptiste Donatien de Vigneur, the Count of Rochambeau, was finally nearing Newport, Rhode Island. Rochambeau's ships carried valuable arms and supplies for the American war effort. Washington, however, was unaware that General Sir Henry Clinton, Howe's successor, had received the same information through their own turncoat spy, American Revolution's most notorious traitor, Benedict Arnold. Townsend, however, managed to warn Washington in time. His message, written hastily in invisible ink, passed through the network rapidly, from Rowe to Woodhull to Brewster. When Brewster reached southern Connecticut on 21 July 1780, however, he could not locate his handler. Knowing the urgency of the situation, he nevertheless ordered a dragoon to carry the message to Washington as fast as possible. Once this courier arrived, however, he could not find Washington, who was touring his lines. Desperate, the dragoon left the intelligence with Alexander Hamilton, who deciphered it for Washington and took quick action. Hamilton saved the day by writing letters to both Rochambeau and the Marquis de Lafayette, who was en route to Newport to rendezvous with his countrymen. Astoundingly, thanks to Arnold, Clinton had known about Rochambeau's imminent arrival since 12 June, over a month before his rebel counterpart, and had, of course, planned an ambush. Arnold, earlier praised and now forgotten as the hero of the Battle of Saratoga, had become disenchanted with the rebel cause after being repeatedly passed over for promotion. His marriage to the beautiful 18-year-old Peggy Shippen, the daughter of a loyalist judge in Philadelphia, on 8 April 1779, no doubt influenced his decision to defect. Fate, however, intervened, nullifying the tremendous impact he could have had on the war's outcome. A combination of unfavorable weather and a lack of supplies forced Clinton to call off what would have doubtlessly been a devastating attack. Regardless, The fact remains that the culpers promptly informed Washington's command of a most serious crisis in time to take preventative measures, allowing the Patriots to stay one step ahead of the British. Aside from Hamilton's warnings, the general's subordinates shrewdly outlined a contingency plan in the event Clinton decided to move his fleet east, a diversionary attack on New York. In all, the incident represented a huge advance in what only 4 years earlier had been the most elementary of espionage services.